Last week, we looked at a teaching in the Bible that showed just how much value God places on us. Remember what I shared? I pointed out the fact that the greater the sacrifice that someone makes, it means the more valuable they believe that something is, or else they wouldn't make such a great sacrifice. I used the illustration of my tiny little comb. You know, if I forgot that somewhere, I wouldn't go back for it. It's not worth it. Forget that. But if I left my wallet somewhere or a cell phone, I would drive back an hour or 2 hours to go get it because it's more valuable. And the point simply was that the more valuable something is, the more we're willing to sacrifice for it. The extent of our sacrifice proves how important something or someone is. And based on a report in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says that God showed or proved his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? And so the greatest sacrifice proves just how much God loves us. He showed the full extent of his love. He proved it. The extent of Jesus' love, his sacrifice, proves that we are loved and we are valuable to God. That was the message I tried to bring to you last week. The good news is there's even more good news. You might even consider it being better news that I'd like to share with you this morning. And that is simply this, that the value or the importance that God places upon us, his love for us, does not diminish, lose value because of the experiences that we've had. Many things in life, you know this, they lose their value simply because they have been used or abused or misused. Take, for example, a car. You buy a new car and, you know, it's at a certain price, but as soon as you drive it away, it has less value. Its value has gone down, right? Because now it is used. You might have driven it 10 kilometers, but as far as the automobile industry is concerned, it is used. It is worth less, right? And if it's abused or misused, it gets worth even less. And even if it's not abused, just the normal use of it degrades its value. Last summer, I bought a car. It was 2 years old. 2 years old, and it had some 30,000 kilometers on it. And I calculated that if I bought that same car brand new, it would have cost me exactly $10,000 more, right? And so in 2 years, the value had come down about $10,000. Imagine that, just like that. Just because it was used. Same with a cell phone. You know, you use it, it gets older, it loses its value. On the other hand, there are some things that don't lose their value. $20 bill. I happen to have one. I wish I had a $100 bill to use as an illustration, but I don't. So, but I have a $20 bill, right? It's fairly crisp. It's clean. It's a little bit worn, but not bad. Whether it's brand new or whether it is crumpled up and messed up or dirty or anything else, it could even have little bits of it torn off the edge, as long as the serial numbers are on the back, right, Rex? It's still worth $20, right? It doesn't matter. It could be a brand new $20 bill, or it could be a crumpled up, messed up, sitting in Clayton's pocket for a week type of $20 bill. And no, he says $20 doesn't stay in his pocket long. And it's still worth $20. The only time it's worth less than $20 is if you take it to the United States, and it's only worth about $13. Anyway, that kind of ruins my illustration, though, so we won't go there. we're talking about things, right? Well, let's turn our attention to people. And in particular, how Jesus treated people. Cars and cell phones and $20 bills. That's just examples. What really matters are people. And how did Jesus value people? Especially people who were messed up. A good example of this is one that we looked at not too long ago in John chapter 8, verses 1 to 8, about a woman who had been caught in adultery. You know the story. This woman was guilty. There was no denying it. She wasn't trying to deny the accusers. There was no question about it. And sadly, the law was clear. The law was clear, the Old Testament law was clear, that when someone committed adultery, both parties who were involved were to be executed. It was quite serious, and not just the woman, and yet for whatever reason in John chapter 8, it's only the woman that gets dragged out. So here's this woman, if you could imagine, being dragged out, who had been caught in adultery, and they make her stand before the group, verse 3 says. John chapter 8, verse 3, there was a group that had gathered. You know, one of the worst things in life is when your mess gets publicly thrown out in the open. And this was a very public place. It was in the temple area where the people had come to worship God. This was sacred, almost sacred ground. John chapter 8. Let me just read a few verses beginning at verse 3. Just so we can catch it there. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" So here's this woman. In the middle of this public place, a crowd was already gathered, and she is being humiliated in front of everyone. In the midst of this public place, she's being dragged out as an example of public disgrace. As far as the accusers are concerned, this woman deserves to die. She has no value. There is no redeeming qualities left in her. We're just waiting for the word, and she needs to be stoned. Her future is hopeless, and her life is about to come to an end. She made her choices, she made her experiences, and because of all the mess that she is in, as far as the crowds that have gathered, and the Pharisees in particular, she was worthless. She was essentially a throwaway. We don't need her anymore. Society does not need her anymore. She needs to, the sooner we get rid of her, the better. That's the mindset. Of course, they're doing all this not because they particularly like the law, but because they want to try to trap Jesus. And Jesus sees what's going on. He knows what she's been up to. He knows that there's a man somewhere who is also broken, who is also shamed, and that man probably has a wife who is devastated by the moral failure of her husband. There's probably whispered talk behind her back. Do you know what her husband did? You know, do you know what kind of a woman, a man that she's married? There's probably all kinds of whispering and gossip and talk all over the place. People would be staring at her. People would be avoiding them. Any way you look at it, this woman and the lives that she impacted were in a mess. there is nothing good in it. By all accounts, this woman who committed adultery, her future was gone. Might as well decrease the surplus population of sinners. That's what Scrooge McPharisee would say. Decrease the surplus population. There's no value there. There's another story in the Bible which might even be even more profound, and that's the story in Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36, where a Pharisee invited Jesus for dinner. You know, I want to talk to this guy. I'm going to have dinner and question him, learn. And so Jesus shows up, reclines at the table. Oh, that was strange. Nobody greeted me at the door, but oh well, I'll sit down and eat. That's fine. And then this woman shows up. An unexpected person. She wasn't invited. But she wasn't just an ordinary woman either. This was a woman who was known around town, oh my, with a really bad reputation. You did not want to mess with her. You did not want to get involved with her. And the Pharisees, they see this woman come and come to Jesus, and they are aghast. What is Jesus doing? Why is he letting her touch him? Why is he not rebuking her? Why is he not throwing her out? Doesn't he know? Is he blind? What's the problem? Why is Jesus not getting rid of her? As far as they were concerned, she too was a throwaway. She used to be discarded. She needs to be shunned. Stay away. Go back to your kind. There's nothing redeeming in her life. Wow. How do we get there? How do people get there? These are women who at one time were sweet little babies, right? They made their mess once in a while, but they're sweet. Oh, we love them. Somebody loved them. Somebody celebrated their birth. Somebody took them to birthday parties or whatever they did back then and taught them, took them to school or homeschool, I guess, and whatever, you know. And yet from there to here, and as far as the society was concerned, these women had lost their value. They were messed up. They were dirty. They were sinful. They had rejected God. They were in a mess. They were, for all intents and purpose, without any meaningful value. They could be gone, and nobody would really care. Throwaway. They've lost their value. When the value of something is gone, you get rid of it. Isn't that how it works? You know, you get something, and after a while, it gets worn out. It doesn't work. It's not what it's supposed to be, whatever. Tired of seeing this thing around. Let me get rid of it. That's how they were being looked at. Their value had been taken away. And yet, despite the reality of their mess, Jesus doesn't ignore the reality that they were messed up. He sees that. He recognizes that. But Jesus isn't ready to throw out the women either. For the woman who was caught in adultery, he challenged the accusers. Remember, he said, you who is without sin could be the first to throw the stone, can throw the first stone. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their stone and they walked away. And it just left Jesus and the woman there. And Jesus looked to the woman and said, where are your accusers? And she's like, oh, I don't know what happened. They were here a minute ago. I was ready to die. And they're all gone. I don't see them. They left. And Jesus says, well, neither do I condemn you. And then he says, now go and leave your life of sin. I want you to have a fresh start. You're not going to have a fresh start unless you make a change in your life. If you keep going in the direction you were going, you're going to end up at the same place you're ending up. There has to be a change in your life if you want your life restored. And so Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. There's still something of value in you. But don't go back to where you were. You need to live a new life. Leave your life of sin. Jesus never swept sin under the rug. It's not like Jesus says, oh, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. It's okay. We'll just ignore that. I didn't see that. Did you see that? I didn't see that. No. Of course he sees that. Of course he's there. Of course he cares. And of course it hurts. But Jesus, despite that, sees value in the person and says, hey, I still love you. There's still value in you. You need to make some changes in your life too. Go and leave your life of sin. And for the prostitute that had come and interrupted the dinner, Jesus didn't push her aside. He didn't cast her out. He embraced her. If not literally, which he might have actually, I don't know, at least figuratively, he embraced her as a person who needed and received forgiveness. Jesus' parting words to her were, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What incredible words. To one, it was, neither do I condemn you. Leave your life of sin. To the other, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. These are two women who were ready to be, who were being rejected, who were being cast aside, who had lost all value as far as society was concerned. You could get rid of them and the world would be a better place. But Jesus says, no, 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 no. Hold on. Let's not go there. There's still something here. There's still somebody here that I love, that I have died for, that I will die for. And in both of these cases, and many more, Jesus speaks life into a person. Life. There are many people who would speak death. Satan speaks death. Oh, you've messed up. Oh, you've done this wrong. You've done that wrong. God is never going to love you. God is never going to use you. God is never going to turn his ear towards you. You've blown it. You might as well give up, shrivel up, and die. That's what Satan would have us believe. Jesus speaks life. No matter how messed up they were, Jesus speaks life into them because their experiences and their mess does not diminish their value in God's sight. No matter how messed up they were, no matter how much pain they experienced or caused to others, which they did not lose their value as human beings. They were not a throwaway. They still had meaning and purpose and value in life. And friends, there are people all around us. There are people all around us who are hurt, who are broken, who are rejected and being rejected because of their actions, because of other people's actions against them. And they feel worthless. They feel dirty. They feel rejected. They feel like, what's the use? And Jesus would come to them and say, I'm still here. I still love you. I still find value in you. Not in what you are doing, not in the choices that you've made, but in you as a person, made in the image of God, as tarnished and as messed up as it is. Jesus says, come to me. Let me work things out in your life. Let me restore you. Let me rebuild you. You don't lose value because of what you've experienced. Romans chapter 5 reminds us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 38 continues, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Friends, there are some things that will simply not lose their value because of the experiences of life. And God's love for you will not diminish because of where you've been. God's love for you will not diminish because of what you have done. His grace, His love reaches out to you no matter where you are, no matter where you've been. And if you are feeling for whatever reason like you are unworthy, that you are too messed up, what can God do with me after all I have been involved in? Look at what God has done with others. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. Paul, who was a persecutor of the Christian faith. And God restored them and worked in them and used them and loved them. And God can love you no matter where you've been. No matter how much Satan would try to whisper in your ear, oh, forget it. God will not give up on you, and He loves you. Now, yes, sometimes there are changes that need to be made. Oftentimes there are changes that need to be made in our lives. And we don't like that part. We like the God loves me part. We like the neither do I condemn you part. But Jesus also said, go and sin no more. Come to me and let me do something in your life. And friends, there are people in your life. You might not even be aware of them as such. But people who are going through circumstances where they feel, what's the use? And it's up to us, the church, to bring the love of God to them. And so I want to encourage you, as we have been recipients of God's love and grace and mercy, that in some way that God would use us and turn our hearts to love the people around us, people who the world might consider to be throwaways. But God sent Jesus to die for them too. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I pray that for all of us, that we would not only be recipients of this truth, but we would be administrators of it as well, giving it out, sharing it to others, and turning people's lives from what the world would consider worthless to priceless, for that is what they are. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before you this morning. And Lord, we just turn to you to speak to us this day. Lord, there may be some here this morning who are at that place in their life where they perhaps feel like they have so messed up so many times, perhaps, that there is no hope. They're not even sure why they're here today. But Lord, you brought them here perhaps to hear this message and to turn their hearts to you, to remind them, Lord God, that you love them, that you sent your son Jesus to go to the cross. You showed the full extent of your love. And Father God, I pray that as we receive that we would turn our lives to you, Lord, that you would work in us and move us and change us and draw us, make us that new creation, Lord, that your word says we become. And Lord, as we have been recipients of that, Father God, help us to go from this place as people who would be bearers of that love to a world that often sees rejection and humiliation, Lord. May we be able to speak the truth in love, Lord God, and draw people and encourage people to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.